catch those words? I love it how God orchestrates our services. Have you ever been at a spot where you were tempest tossed? That means blown by the wind. Like you feel like you're gasping for your last breath. Ever been there? When you're discouraged, thinking all is lost. Have you ever been there? And then in verse 2, are you ever burdened with a load of sin? Here's the thing. Sometimes we hang on to that, maybe willingly or unwillingly. And sin has a way of just hammering us. Because there's one in this world that knows how to use that very effectively. And he's real good at blinding us from the truth. It's a good little hymn. We seem to look at all the bright things, but sometimes we need to pay attention to things that drag us down. Would you agree? If we're going to prevail as followers of Christ, true followers of Christ, we need to look at ourselves and make sure we're living according to God's plan and will. I'm going to open with prayer. Father, again, I thank you that we have opportunity to learn more about you. I thank you. I'm redirecting my thinking. God, I pray against the distraction of the bees, but I thank you that they want to hear God's word. And God's word is going out, so I pray that they would be attentive, but not be a distraction. I pray that we as human beings who have the capacity to praise and say how awesome our God is, unlike bees who cannot, I pray we would be attentive to your spirit, that he would minister to ours, and that you would be able to do the work you have begun within us. For this, I give you the praise in advance in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're coming into a season of life, pretty much the next 2 months, maybe 3, January 2, not the 2nd, but I mean also, and February. I mean, until it gets warm again, we tend to be overwhelmed, yes? I get seasonal depression. I'm so glad I have God's word, because it is a light. It can encourage. It can equip. And I am so thankful that this poor young man, David, went through so much stuff. I'm so thankful that he chose to put pen to paper and follow the prompting of the Holy Spirit and write the Psalms, or at least some of them. I want to share Psalm 38 with you and just see if you can relate. Put yourself in David's feet, but then also just examine yourself. This is what he writes in Psalm 38. I am bent and racked with pain. My days are filled with anguish. My loins burn with inflammation, and my whole body is diseased. I'm exhausted and crushed. I groan in despair. Lord, you know how I long for my health once more. You hear my every sigh. My heart beats wildly. My strength fails. And I'm going blind. My loved ones and friends stay away, fearing my disease. Even my own family stands at a distance. Meanwhile, my enemies are trying to kill me. They plot my ruin and spend all their waking hours planning treachery. But I'm not deaf, but I am deaf to all their threats. I'm silent before them as a man who cannot speak. I have nothing to say. That was 6-9, if you're following along. I think it was 9, I don't know, but I know it was in the middle of that passage. Sorry for not giving you that direction if you're following along. But when we read the psalm, when we read the words of David in Psalm 38, we find this to be a godly man, a righteous man. And where is he? He's at the end of his rope, hanging on by a thread. What he's struggling with has drained him of all strength. He's dealing with pain, suffering anguish, inflammation, and disease. He has a reason to be exhausted, to be crushed, groaning in despair, with nothing to hang on to. Think about it. His loved ones and his friends keep at a distance. They fear his disease. We're not in any of that situation right now, right? Stay 6 feet apart. Put a covering on. Add to that, his enemies are trying to kill him. And what I want you to recognize is that this is a godly man. He hungered for the Lord. It was his custom to pour out his heart to the God of the universe in prayer. He was acquainted with God's word. He's the guy that wrote Psalms that bring glory to God. But now in this depressed state, all he can do is cry out. He says, Lord, am I at the end of my rope where there's no hope for me? And he has no idea what's happening to him. Have you ever been there? I've been there. Sometimes I feel like this past week I was there. I'm excited for this message because it has spoken to me. And I'm hoping that it speaks to you in the same way because it is God's word. Like many discouraged Christians today, David's trying to figure out why he felt so low, so broken in spirit. And at this point, he probably relived every shortcoming, every sin, every foolish deed he had ever done. And worse, some were pretty great. I mean, if you're familiar with David, he did some grievous things. His thinking may have been, Lord, have my selfish acts left me so beaten down that there is no hope? That's a deception. That's a poor thinking. He begins chapter 38 with the thought that God must have been disciplining him. Verses 1 through 4, if you're there, say, O Lord, and I'm reading from the NLT, so if it doesn't mesh, O Lord, don't punish me while you're angry. Your arrows have struck deep. Your blows are crushing me because of your anger. My body is sick. My health is broken beneath my sins. They're like a flood higher than my head. They're a burden too heavy for me to bear. Have you ever been there? Here's the next question. Have you ever cried out to God? Have you had that conversation with him? Tell him where you're at right now. We need to understand David isn't just writing about his own condition. There comes a time when dedicated believers may become overwhelmed by a sudden attack of dark time that we've just read about in this psalm. He's describing something that at some point all devoted followers of Christ experience throughout their life. And this is an overwhelming spirit of discouragement right from the pit of hell. And clearly, this is where we need to pay attention because there's one in this world that doesn't want us to stay focused. And he will do everything in his power to keep us distracted. We need to realize no Christian brings this on himself. Discouragement isn't of God. He doesn't send it. There is one in this world who wants to keep us off guard, off balance, distracted, deceived, broken down. And we need to recognize that this discouragement for what it can be, a demonic weapon. And one is not afraid to use it. This is an arrow Satan shoots at us from his quiver. And he has good aim. He wants us to doubt ourselves. Because he knows he can't tempt us to turn our back on Jesus. Right? He's my God, my Savior, my Lord. So Satan has no hold on me. Yes, church? Yes. So he tries a next attempt to overwhelm us with doubt, with vicious lies. He wants us to think we'll never be good enough to serve Christ. You can't. You're not good enough. It's a lie. His goal is to get us so downcast that we throw in the towel. I can't. And when we give up, He wins. We're never going to go there. Yes, church? As followers of Christ, we must understand that God will always, always, always be our comfort at our most dark and helpless moment. Do you believe that, church? We must never allow unbelief to enter our thinking. Look, we can talk to God. We can tell Him our feelings and our hurts and our failures. We can tell Him about our despair over sin and the foolish things we have done. But we must never turn our back and think that He has abandoned us. This is a serious accusation, and the Lord doesn't take it lightly. Someone has led me to Numbers chapter 21. Verses 4 through 6. And it just paints a little story. Follow along. Maybe write down Numbers 21 so you read it this week. But this is what we read at verses 4 through 6. They traveled from Mount Hor along the route to the Red Sea to go around Edom. But listen. But the people grew impatient on the way. They spoke against God and against Moses, and they said, "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There's no bread, there's no water, and we detest this miserable food." Pay attention here. Then the Lord sent venomous snakes among them. They bit the people and many Israelites died. Now, I don't know about you, but when the Bible speaks of my heavenly Father sending fiery serpents to His people and they start dying from snake bites, we can't ignore this clear message. Do you know what the clear message is? God will not allow unbelief among those who claim to be followers of Christ. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. The decision has been made. I have stepped over the line. Is that you, Christian? After all the Lord has done for us, the most hurtful thing we can think or say against Him is that He has neglected us or left us alone. Again, we don't want to be distracted. We must be careful not to allow such unbelief to enter our minds, especially when we're undergoing difficult times. People tend to say, "God, where are you?" when the question needs to be, "God, where am I?" He's never away from the true follower of Christ. David's an example of a godly man who kept the faith even at his most lowest point. He wouldn't allow himself to fall victim to the spirit of unbelief. This is a very true spirit. Remember, our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. They're spirits. Psalm 38:15 tells us how he prevailed. Ready? He prayed! What did he pray? We read in Psalm 38:15, "I'm waiting for you. O Lord, my God, come, protect me." Do you cry out to your holy and loving God who's right there with you when you're battling depression or some overwhelming circumstance? Or do you leave that power and authority in Jesus' name on the table? Not from this day forward, kids. When we're enduring an attack of discouragement, it's futile to escape in our own power or strength. We don't humanly have the capacity to overcome. This kind of battle is fought only through prayer. This battle is in the spiritual realm, and it must be fought in the spirit. I love the conversation in the hallways now. For like the last 3 weeks, I've been hearing in extracurricular conversations, the Spirit of God. We need to be attentive to the Spirit. Clearly, you're getting the messages that are going out, but we need to implement them. Put them into practice. The book of Psalms is full of insight on how to get through times like these when you are overwhelmed. Here's the secret. Sometimes we have to look within ourselves. As you continue to read through Psalms, you find it at chapter 42, at verse 5, that in this time of discouragement, David couldn't figure out why he was at such a low point in his life. Like, what in the world could I be doing? Well, maybe you need to do an inventory like he did. This is what he writes in verse 5 of Psalm 42. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior, my God. And what stands out to me is these aren't questions about God. These are questions about himself. When we look at verses 1 and 2 in the same chapter, 42, David actually begins the psalm by expressing his deep thirst for his Lord. He says, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for you, God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? I'll tell you the answer. Every time you bend your knee, you meet with God. This is why we pray before the service. This is why we devote a third of our service to prayer. Because we're to cry out to Him. You got to remember that at this point, David's hanging on by a thread. Have you been there? He cried out to his Lord saying, my God, there has never been a time when I loved you more or thirst for you more. I chase after you like a deer hunting water. Why am I so downcast? Why am I so down and out? What's causing me to be discouraged? Sometimes we have to step back and take a look at ourselves. I'm my worst enemy when I give in to the deceiver. Please don't misunderstand me. There are times when we bring consequences on ourselves. And David has experienced despair and depression because of his sin. Certainly, he endured the Lord's chastening. I'm certain was aware. He's calling it discipline. I'm calling it. He has experienced God's rod of correction, right? Please don't spare the rod, God. Spare the rod, spoil the child. That's what we're talking about here. God's really good at correcting us. His heart had to have ached when he had the relationship with Bathsheba, when he plotted to kill her husband. He had to have had remorse. Because if our sins do not make us feel bad, don't expect that you're going to turn from them. Your prayer has to be, God, break my heart for what breaks yours. There are many people, including believers, who are discouraged because of sin in their life. They're depressed because the Holy Spirit has wanted them to come to the light so that they could experience victory over sin. But they resist. What? Why? They've chosen the way of the world, the flesh, and the devil. And that path always leads to destruction, to discouragement. But these are not the people I'm talking about. I want to share insights that apply to, listen, repentant, faithful followers of Christ. That's you and me. Yes, church? Those who seek God with all of their heart. That's us, right, church? We're not exempt from these feelings of depression and discouragement. And what I'm talking about comes suddenly on us. It's an attack. It comes out of nowhere with no apparent reason. And it can catch us completely off guard. What? Yeah. Discouragement is the devil's most devastating tool when it comes to attacks of, listen, spiritually hungry followers of Christ. This has been his weapon of choice for centuries against God's children. That's you and me. He has been seeing you dig deeper into God's word because you're following the leader of some church that says, read your Bible this week, go to. He's seeing you change, doing your best to overcome the trappings of the world. Well done, good and faithful servants. And for that, he has placed a target on you for heavy attack. Is your life miserable? Awesome! You're going in a direction that's about to bring change. Don't give in. Don't give up. And you better believe that this attack will come. If you're following Christ, consider that great joy. Today you may be at a place where you have no problems, life is good, you're living large, praising Jesus. That's good. But God's word tells us to be on alert, stand guard, watch out for what comes tomorrow. And it may come. It may come today. Satan's crafty. He'll use his most powerful weapon, discouragement, to try and take you down and out of the game. But don't lose heart. Why? When the attack comes, don't think it unusual. Read God's word. It tells you. God allows this kind of testing with all those who choose to follow him. Following Christ is a choice. And I choose to follow him because it goes far better for me than when I try to go in my own strength. 1 Peter 4:12 tells us, dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you. Let us see what squirt is made of. That's the way I like to see it. Watch Finding Nemo. When the little turtle goes outside into the East Australian current, the wise old turtle says, let him go. He's going to grow. He's going to learn. Don't be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you as though something strange were happening to you. That's 1 Peter 4:12. What do you suppose we should do when something like that comes our way? Pray. We should just take a knee. And then we can overcome the enemy's attack of discouragement. Here's the problem. If you're like me, you're not going to want to pray. You're going to want to walk with me or run the other way or do something else. The truth is, it's in times like these we must pursue Jesus. This is a time for God's Spirit to go to work on our behalf. He's the one that's able to lift us up from the pit. We're not going to make it in our own strength. But here's the thing. You have to allow yourself to be in his presence. That means you have to take a knee. Time out. God help me. Tell him how weak and helpless you are. Let him know, Jesus, I have no strength. I'm not going to be able to get out of this depression in my own strength. If it's going to happen, you have to make it happen. Lord, save me. Lord, help me. These are powerful prayers. When we're at our lowest and saddest times, the Lord is patient with us. He knows where we're at, and he knows what we are. We're not much more than a morsel of dust, right? So he doesn't expect us to muster some intense, fervent prayer. See, Jesus, guard these bees. Sorry. This clearly has to be paid attention to. Don't sting the messenger. It's at times like these he wants us to sit in his presence. Just bask there. Rest in his loving arms. Have you ever felt the arms of Jesus surround you? You can. take a moment to be still. Almost 2 months ago, that's where we began this series of being in the Spirit. No matter how dark a place you may be at, He will never, never forsake you. As a follower of Christ, we are promised He'll never leave us alone. Thank you, Jesus. He swats the bees away lovingly. Thank you, Jesus. Some people tend to think that God's Spirit leaves them when they grieve the Holy Spirit. And thinking like this couldn't be farther from the truth. They're deceived. Let me break this down for you. How could God's Spirit abandon us when we need Him most? If He leaves us whenever we stumble or fall, how could He be our comforter? Hey, that makes sense. When you think about it, we would be left under Satan's rule. That's not where any child of God is going to be when they're following God. I believe it when God's Word says, I have the Holy Spirit seal. I've been set apart. How could he ever complete the work that He has begun in me if He flits in and out of my life every time I fail or fall short? Doesn't make sense. This is the deception of the evil one. God's Word tells us to renew our thinking. How could I ever see my sin if the Holy Spirit wasn't revealing it to me? And in order to see that, I have to stop, step back and say, where am I? How could I know how to change my life if the Holy Spirit wasn't there to guide and direct me? Let's go back to God's Word. It doesn't matter what I think. This is what God's Word says. In John 14, 16 through 18, Jesus reassures us. These are His word. I will ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept Him. That's the Spirit. Because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. Listen, but you know Him. For He lives within you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. But you must invite Him. In John 14, 26, Jesus says, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, listen, He shall teach you all things, and He'll bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said to you. Do you know how He speaks to you? I'll say it one more time. And when I'm no longer here, I'm hoping my legacy is all James talked about was Jesus and God's Word. And if that's all you can remember of me, thank God. When the devil comes at you with a spirit of discouragement, he hits you from all sides, one lie after another. He lies to you about it, your marriage, your family, your friends, your calling, your walk with Him. And then he brings to your mind, Satan brings to your mind every wrong you have ever done, all your failures, all the foolish things you've ever done. And what I want to bring to you today is what he intended for bad, God uses for good. In times like these, when you're down and out and overwhelmed because of the choices you have made or the predicament you find yourself in, the Holy Spirit brings to your mind the precious promises of Jesus. He reminds you of all things I have told you about in His Word. Get it in you. He says, your life isn't over. How many people are committing suicide because they can't bear another day? Their life is over. You don't know it, Jesus says, but you haven't even started yet. Take the step and see what I have for you. There's so much more yet to come. And we leave it on, and I leave it on the table. Pick it up. walking in the power and authority of Jesus' name, because that's the gift, the Holy Spirit, which I've given to you. We must learn to listen to the Spirit of God. We need to understand He overcomes the lies of the enemy. And listen, we reap the encouragement of the Holy Spirit. We get to experience the love and the joy and the peace and the patience and the kindness and the gentleness and the faithfulness and the self-control. If there's one more, I missed it. Goodness, maybe. The Lord has a wonderful plan for every child of God. Not every one. Don't be deceived. Oh, He's a good God. He doesn't want anybody to. He doesn't want any of His children. But you need to make the choice. Follow His prompting. He's pursuing you. All you have to do is surrender. Lord, I can't go another step. I'm overwhelmed. Listen, there is no satanic attack that's going to change God's plan for your life. God knows the sorrows. He knows the struggles. He knows the pain that you're facing today, maybe. If you're there, He has only good for those who choose to love Him, who choose to serve Him, who choose to follow Him. Listen to the words of Isaiah 40, 28 through 31. I love this question. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and His understanding no one can fathom. Listen, He gives strength to the weary, and He increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary. Young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. Where does your strength come from, church? Get plugged in. It has power. I digress. What happens when we renew our strength? Isaiah 40 tells us, they will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. How do I get through the day when my body doesn't work with me? Jesus. And I love the attacks on my body because it just means God's going to do something great. And I will continue coveting your prayers for praying for me because I feel them through the week when you lift me up. I'm probably at my lowest. And because of the saints' prayers, I can take another step. I don't know where you may be at this point in your life, but I know the one who does. Maybe you're at the end of your rope hanging on by a thread. So if that's you, I want to offer this prayer. And if you agree with these words, will you just pray them in your spirit? So maybe right now, let's just everybody bow our heads and close our eyes. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. I'll give you time to respond, but this prayer is for you. Just pray, Lord, I know You're with me. Right now, I need Your strength. Help me to think the way You think. Jesus, send Your Spirit to me. Speak to my heart the words of Your comfort. I don't have any strength left. You're going to have to lift me up and lead me. Lord, I give You permission to continue the work You've begun in me. I want to be all that You created me to be. I want Your power and Your strength to carry me through today, tomorrow, and until You come again or call me home. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If you've prayed that prayer, watch your life change. Let's continue to be in the attitude of the Spirit. Let Him minister to yours through this closing hymn.